Ryan Bulaga, Homer Hour, and now the always look forward to segment, Rob Domofsky and Ryan Bulaga on the Ryan Bulaga Homer Hour. And I always say I'll shut up, but I think today I probably will more than normal. Take it away, Brian.
Rob, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, Brian. I'm a little tired from the travel back home today, even though it's not a long trip. It's after a late night of work and a long Monday of travel, and the season's over. It's a little bit of a different feeling. So,
Do you know the famous Rob Domofsky?
Do I know him?
Yeah, the Rob Shut the F Up Domofsky.
I did hear about this. Yeah. I read about it. I told you those Philly
ovation,
fans.
Sir.
I told you, Rob.
Ovation.
I had enough of that woman constantly turning around and yelling at the press box, pointing at. Well, she started with Robert Saleh, who was sitting in the press box with us for the first time, which people may not know, but like all the front office scouts, GMs, all those people sit in the press box on the road. And for whatever reason, Saleh was in there with them, which is the first time we'd seen him all year. And this woman was just kept yelling at Saleh. First, she wanted a picture. Then she got mad and she started calling him a bald MF-er. And then there was a bunch of us in the media that are bald. And she started going right down the line, yelling, bald, 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 bald. And I finally banged out the glass and I told her to sit down and shut the you-know-what up.
And I wish to say, Bud Lee, if he was alive, would put you into every Hall of Fame there is for doing what isn't done often enough. And you have to be old to know who Bud Lee was. But
I remember Bud. Yes. I remember Bud very well.
Take it away.
Philly fans, fantastic. So, yeah. So Rob, what was the message or the overwhelming message today in the locker room when guys were cleaning it out? Like, what was the big takeaway you heard from guys today?
I mean, like, the guys who talked and you know, I mean, it was a mix of guys. It was, you know, from on offense, you know, we heard from Tucker Kraft and Jaden Reed were probably the big speakers. And defense, it was Keyshawn Nixon and Evan Williams talked and Devontae Wyatt. But I mean, like, all the line of questioning was like, how far away do you think you guys are from the rest of those teams that you couldn't beat? And, you know, for the most part, you know, the answers were kind of cliched and what you would expect in terms of just, you know, oh, we just need to play better or whatever. But like, to me, the question is, you know, did they not beat those teams because they didn't play well, or are they just not good enough? Right? Like, that's the whole question. And like Tucker Kraft had this one quote, and I'm not sure exactly what he meant by it, but he said, as a team, we need to wake up. I don't know how many times we just have to. And then he kind of caught himself and he says, everybody talks about how we're just not okay being a team that makes the playoffs. So we have to walk the walk. I'm going to embrace everything I have and put everything in this game and take a little bit more of a leadership role. And that's a good statement from, you know, a guy who will next year, you know, be in his third year, but has been through it a little bit. But to me, I still go back to the question that I asked right off the top is did they just not play well in those games, or are they just not good enough yet to compete with those teams? And I think that's a question that both the coaches have to look at themselves at, and then the front office and the scouting department has to figure out. Because I will tell you this, Brian, I had one person from the Packers front office tell me before the game that if we play a clean football game, I think we're 2 touchdowns better than the Eagles. Well, right off the bat, it was not clean with the fumble. So that tells you what, like, I think maybe the scouting side of it, they think maybe they put together the roster that's good enough. Now, there's always that pull between, you know, the coaches don't think they got enough players, and the scouts don't think the coaches are getting enough out of the players that they've given them. Like, that's a constant in my 28 years of doing this.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess what – I mean, and I don't know if you guys asked LaFleur this. I guess what, in your opinion, then – I know LaFleur probably didn't say, or if he would have known, he would have fixed it.
Yeah.
What, in your big takeaway then, was the issue in the first half lapses against good football teams? Because we saw it again in the playoff game. What has been the issue? I have my idea, but
yeah.
I don't know if I'm right, but what's yours?
Yeah, my idea is this, Brian, and I don't know that I'm right either, but my sort of feeling is that this team never found something offensively that it could hang its hat on and be consistently productive with. Now, it's crazy to think that, you know, Josh Jacobs had over 1,300 yards and, you know, that wasn't good enough. But it wasn't like that. And I'm not sure why. Like, I'm not sure why having a near-dominant rushing game didn't, like, evolve the offense into, you know, this play off the run pass kind of stuff. But I just think they never figured it out, especially in the passing game, you know, what they could do as their go-to, right? And maybe that mm-hmm. goes back to the fact that they just didn't have a number one. And I mean, you know, they talked till they were blue in the face, from the coaches to the position coaches to everybody else, saying, you know what, we don't need a number one because we've got 5-6 guys that could, on any given day, could go out and get us, you know, 7 catches for 120 yards. The problem is it didn't happen on most given days, right? Like, that wasn't yep. And I'm not, like, I'm not saying that, like, you have to have a situation where Aaron's going to force the ball to Devontae like he did, you know, their last year here together. And sometimes that can be, you know, a problematic on the other end. But at some point, you need to have a guy, right? Like, and where you find that, like, I don't know, because, you know, they're first of all, they're never going to draft a receiver in the first round. Like, that's just the way it is. And second of all, where do you find one of those studs? I mean, like, do you go out and pay one in free agency? Well, they've never really done that either at the receiver position. So I don't know. But to me, that's where the offense just never found, and you could say it's rhythm, you could say it's a groove, or you could just say identity. But to me, that's where in those games, they were never able to quite figure it out.
And for me, I guess yesterday, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about on the pregame show, and how, I guess, good it's been. And now that you look at statistically, the defense was the star of the show yesterday. The positions that they got put in, and how they were able to kind of keep the Eagles in check for most of the game until eventually, you know, it is what it is at some point.
Right.
But those guys have to be pretty proud of the way they played overall against an Eagles team that's pretty bloated offensively.
Yeah, and you know what? You're right. And this game reminded me a lot of that 13-10 playoff loss to the 49ers. What was that, 2021, where the defense actually did its part, and the special teams was a disaster with that block punt return for a touchdown, and then the offense couldn't do anything. But here's – and I don't want to be a wet blanket here, Brian, but last year at this time, or last year when the season was over, it was, oh, man, like they're – you know, they were just scratching the surface with Jordan Love and the offense, and, you know, look what they did, you know, the last half of the year and how much better it could be. Okay, now let's fast forward to today. We're sort of saying the same things about the defense. Like, man, that was – if they did that in the first year with Halfley, you know, what's next? And like, you hope that it doesn't take a regression, I guess – and, I mean, maybe regression is a little bit of a harsh word for what happened to Love in the offense, but I don't really know any other way to describe it. So you and I guess what my point is, you can't just take for granted, because the defense took big steps in the first year under Halfley, that it's going to take equally big steps next year. And that's the thing that I think you just have to be, you know, you just can't count on it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, for sure. So what do you see offensively and defensively? Because Homer and I talked about it. What do you see as the biggest needs on each side of the football going forward? Preview.
Yeah. So, okay, real quick, forget players for a second. Like, the offensive coaching staff will be in year 7 next year of this offense, right? And sometimes, you know, and I think it happened a little bit late in the McCarthy, you know, tenure. Sometimes the offense just doesn't evolve enough, and people catch up to it. So from that standpoint, that they've got to figure out a way to take this offense and not just rip off the game plan label from 2020 and 21 and think it's going to work in 2025. Like, they've got to evolve the offense. But from a personnel standpoint, you know, I don't know where they find a number one receiver. The problem, Christian Watson, you know, he's not coming back probably till November or whatever at the earliest. You know, they need to build around the run game and getting some, you know, play action stuff. I don't think their personnel is too far off on offense, other than the fact that they don't have a number one go-to guy. On defense, I think, they, you know, I know Keyshawn Nixon talked today about, you know, I want to be a number one corner. Well, I just don't know if that's the case. I think they got to draft multiple corners high in the draft. I really do. You know, when you're trying to cover in this division, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and then we saw what happened where the third guy, right, 83. I can't remember his name. 83 in that game hurt him in Minnesota. Then you got Detroit. You got, you know, St. Brown and these, you know, these other guys. Like, you got to have a lot of corners, and I just don't think they have enough quality corners. It's. I don't think, and Homer would remember this, the year after Randy Moss came into the division.
Ron Wolf, baby, yeah. Three cornerbacks.
Yeah. Ron Wolf took three corners, rounds 1, 2, and 3.
They weren't all good, but
Antoine Edwards, Mike McKenzie, and Fred Vincent. McKenzie, the third-round pick, ended up being the
Naylor the was the guy. Sorry for the Vikings.
Naylor, that's right, 83. So I don't know that it's going to be that extreme, but to me they've got to add multiple corners. And then look, you know, I feel like every team could say they need another pass rusher, and of course they do. But that's where Halfley, I think, you know, could get a little bit more creative next year because, you know, he didn't send a lot of five-man pressures this year. So, but to me, that's the biggest areas. And there'll be things that pop up during the season. You know, I highly doubt Jair Alexander is going to be back, so they're going to pick up some salary cap space with him. If they cut him before June 1, it's like $6 million savings. If they designate him as a post-June 1, it's like $17 million in cap space. So they're going to have some room to play with on top of the $40 million that they have or so, you know, already going into next year. So they have some – they're in a good spot. I really do believe they're in a good spot to make the team better.
Okay. I got one. Well, I got one last one for Ryan. All right.
Yep.
Rob, right now, what you believe is the greatest strength of Jordan Love?
Greatest strength, I still think, is his arm. I think he's got a really good arm. And you can't, if you don't have arm talent, then you don't have anything in this league.
All right, Brian? No, you don't have to answer my question if you have the last one for Rob.
No, I was just going to say, what your overall takeaway from Jordan Love as a whole after this season? I mean, does your opinion change on him at all? I mean, because mine doesn't. I still think he's the guy. I think he's really talented. I think he's really good. I think this season was a big learning curve. I thought there was always a chance there could be a rocky road, a second year adjustment.
No doubt.
What's your opinion?
Yeah, I for the most part would agree with that, Brian. I would throw in the fact that, and look, injuries are what they are, but it can't be easy when the first game of the year, you know, you get injured and, you know, you miss a couple games. It's going to take you a while to get into a rhythm. I think we saw that early, because I do think there was a pretty good stretch in there in the middle of the season where he was playing pretty well. I think the things that we thought about him before, you know, I don't think they've changed a whole lot. Like, maybe superstardom wasn't, you know, maybe he's going to take a little bit longer, or maybe the ceiling isn't quite as high as maybe we thought, but I still think he's a franchise quarterback who, you know, can make some special plays and win some games. Like, I mean, I remember early in Aaron's tenure, it was, he could never come back in the fourth quarter, right? Like, he could never pull off the fourth quarter comeback. Well, eventually that started to happen too. So there are things that maybe Jordan struggled with that I think eventually will come around, and I think they're in a good spot there.
Rob, always appreciate it. Rob Domofsky, hopefully you can find time for us in the off season, because Brian always has questions for you.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, you bet. Rob Domofsky, the fourth quarter coming up next.